Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, my goodness, Ben Crenshaw. So much going on in the world of golf. It's hard to keep up. We've got a lot of the ladies at the Olympics just wrapped up. Wow, what a finish that was. Lydia Ko, amazing. I hope you haven't recorded to watch it because I am going to be talking about it. Got a great show lined up for you. Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, is going to join us. Joel Navarro, president, Lahaina Junior Golf Association, chairman and founder of the Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, and CEO and executive director of Maui Pono Foundation. He'll be in the clubhouse. Ben Hongo, director of instruction, Hongo Golf. He's over at Kapalua Golf Academy. And Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, morning read section, and author of Tiger Woods, The Lasting Legacy, among others. We'll have Bob will be with us first, but let me give you some beautiful conditions, all right? We're going to have for Saturday, mostly sunny. This is for Oahu, Kauai, Maui, Molokai, and Lanai. Mostly sunny, some windward and mauka scattered showers. On the leeward side, maybe a few afternoon showers. The high today between 83 and 88, and trades about 15 miles per hour. Yay. All right, on Hawaii Island, windward, mostly cloudy with scattered daytime showers, numerous showers at night. And on the leeward side, partly cloudy with isolated showers, high between 84 and 89, and the low 70 to 75. I'll take that 75. Trades 15 to 20 miles per hour. It's always nice to be able to get a good night's sleep. Hey, how about a good round of golf? At Volcano on the Big Island, we've got an 832, an 810, an 832, a 910, and a 1048. It's 58 degrees at Volcano, so bring a jacket until the sun's up. The early birds are out today at Volcano. At Makalei, there's a 908, a 1024. Cool breeze, they're out, and may you all hit the sweet spot every time. At Poipu, the Junior Classic, that is the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association Junior Classic, they're 2 days, today and tomorrow, after 2:10, if you want to play at Poipu, there are tee times available. The course owners are going to be on the course today. They're playing. Kauai Lagoons has a 10:10. And now to Oahu, where Turtle Bay has an 8:38, a 9:16, a 10:30. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has an 8:30, a 9:06, a 10:40. And let's see, Eva Beach has an 8:36, a 9:48, and a 10:26. And then on Maui at the Gold Course, there's an 8:40, a 9:20, a 10:20, and a noon. There's on the Emerald Course where the Royal Windsor Group is going out. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. Emerald Course has a 10:50 and a 12 o'clock. The Blue Course has an 8:50, a 9:10, and between 11 and noon, they've got some openings as well. Kapalua, 9 o'clock and 10:30. And now we're going to come back and just have a great show with you this morning. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions just like the pros. Aloha Power Equipment, your landscape superstore. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever. And the Century starts off the PGA Tour's 2025 season at Kapalua January 2nd through the 5th.
All right. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, member of the Golf Writers Association of America. He is a golf writer. He writes for Sports Illustrated. He worked at ESPN and the Tampa Bay Times. His books include Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods, and Tiger and Phil, Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry. So welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you? How are you, Danielle?
We're doing okay this morning. You know, it's Olympics. And did you watch the playoff? I mean, it wasn't a playoff. It felt like a playoff. Did you watch the women competing?
I sure did. I actually was at the men's last week, and I came home after that, and obviously was very interested to see how they would do on the same course. You know, it was a great, it's been a great 2 weeks of golf in the Olympics, and I think it's sort of what the game needed right now, frankly. It's been good. And Lydia winning is a great story in golf. You know, it gets her in the LPGA Hall of Fame, which is one of the hardest to get into because it's all points-based. And, you know, you really couldn't ask for much more. The drama last Sunday with the men, and now Lydia winning today, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is the bronze, silver, and now gold hang wherever she wants to hang her medals. She's got one of each.
Yeah, pretty neat accomplishment that she's, you know, she's medaled in all three of the Olympics now, and you know, obviously capping it off with the gold today and finishing it off. You know, she had a big lead, and then it kind of, you know, got away a little bit there. She made a mistake, I believe it was on the 13th hole, you know, in the end, she got it done, and it's a great, great accomplishment.
Yeah, and now the New Zealander, Lydia, has more medals from the Olympics than major championships. I think that was just something somebody threw out. And another one that everyone's speculating about, do you think she'll retire, Bob?
Yeah, you know, I just saw that come up, and I hadn't really considered that. I didn't know that was even a thing. I mean, she's married. Maybe she wants to start a family. It's possible. Look, and she's been playing for a long time. And this is a thing, especially in women's golf. I mean, she won a pro tournament at age 15. She's been going at this for a while. So, you know, I could see where perhaps, you know, maybe she's had enough, gets into the Hall of Fame. But yet, I don't know, until she discusses that, I think it's a little premature. And, I hope she keeps going.
Yeah.
You know, I hope she can have her family life and continue to play golf also.
Annika Sorenstam, you know, I mean, she played for a long time before she retired from the game completely. And she hasn't retired from the game completely because she's still very, very, very active in the game of golf. And we see her out playing. I don't think once someone has played at the levels these women are playing, how can you just, I can't imagine just walking away. There's got to be something in your blood that just makes you want to get out there and compete again. Just that competition factor.
Well, and that's usually what keeps people in it too long. You know, they don't want to give it up. And, you know, Lorraine Ochoa was one who walked away at the height of her career. You know, when she could have probably kept winning for a long time.
Yeah.
So it happens. You know, it definitely happens. And, we will see how it plays out with her. I'm very, 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 you know, kind of curious now to see where it goes from here.
Absolutely. All right. Talking with Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated. I love this part about you, Bob. Your exposure, as it was written, to golf began as a caddy in the Chicago suburbs, where you earned the Evans Scholarship and attended Indiana University. And the advice you gave at one point to sports media students, be versatile, learn to do everything, read as much as possible, write as much as possible, whether it's short, long, fast, or slow, get comfortable doing video, learning how to talk on the air, figuring out how to do it all by yourself, if necessary, just, you know, on your own. Above all, be a reporter first. Always ask one more question. That's awesome.
Yeah, listen, I was given advice that I didn't do. You know, when I came up, you were very one-dimensional. And I just think as it's gone on, you have to be very versatile in the media business. You know, I grew up with aspirations of being a newspaper reporter mostly, or magazine, you know, and the business has changed so much, you know, blogs and video and, you know, well, the word blog has actually evolved so many times. You know, there's so much social media, There's so many other ways to get the messaging out there, and the traditional news outlets are not the same. So I think it's important to be versatile, you know. And in my business, you know, I think you got to learn to write long, you got to learn to write fast, you got to learn to take your time on the bigger things. And but you know, in the internet world, you got to get things out there quickly, so you better know how to do that too. And you have to adjust as you go. And I don't know, I think that advice probably still holds for somebody that's coming along today. I wouldn't zero in on one aspect of it. Make sure that I was sort of adept at all of them, and then specialize when needed.
Yes, very, very good. That's why I wanted to pass it on, because it's two or three sentences, and it's, I love the one, always ask one more question. That's where I get, you know, it's like, can I ask one more question? Now, let's go back to last week. Bob Herrig, senior golf writer, Sports Illustrated, was at the Olympics. And one thing I wanted to zero in on, because Scottie Scheffler, of course, won. He won gold. He won big time. But John Rahm really kind of helped Scottie win, didn't he?
No question. I mean, Scheffler finished one with a score of 19 under, and at one point, Rahm was 20 under.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so if he'd have been able to maintain that, you know, I don't know that Scheffler could have caught him. Are we going to ask him to shoot 61? Because that's what he would have needed to do. He shot 62, which was incredible enough.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, Rahm helped. It was kind of a shocking meltdown. You know, he had I believe he had a 6-shot lead with 8 holes to go.
That's right. Yes.
And, you know, looked invincible, had birdied the 10th. But you know, it's funny how things happen in golf. He had a 3-putt on the 11th, which is the par 3 at the Golf National. And you know, maybe that's when things got a little shaky, you know, like you show a little bit of vulnerability and all of a sudden, you know, another mistake happens. And, you know, the big one was on 14, the par 5 that where he made a double bogey. He admitted afterward that he went in the one place he couldn't go with the third shot. He just needed to get that ball in the middle of the green. And, you know, that changed everything. So, look, I've seen a lot of negativity directed towards Rahm. This is golf. It happens, you know. Guys, those finishing holes in the Golf National were tough. You know, even Lydia today made a double bogey on the back nine when she was cruising.
That's right.
You know, I mean, and it made it a lot more nervous at the end for her. So it happens. Golf is, you know, it's not easy to finish. And and Scottie sort of had nothing to lose there for a little while. You know, he had gotten so far behind that he was almost an afterthought. And then he just, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the Olympics. It doesn't do you any good to finish fifth. You know, you might as well go for it.
That's,
and he had just some great shots on that back nine. And his birdie on 17 was one of the all-timers out of the rough. It was hard to hold shots out of the rough. And he, you know, he gave himself a look from about 12 feet and made it. And it was an impressive display.
Yeah, yeah. He led by 4 strokes. I'm talking about John Rahm led by 4 strokes with 8 to play. And then collapsed.
Cool.
You know, and
yeah.
He said, I don't remember the last time I played a tournament and I felt like this. I don't know what the word is, because I not only feel like I let myself down, but to just not get it done for the whole country of Spain, it's a lot more painful than I would like it to be. You know what I mean? It's like, especially since, you know, there is so much pride that we don't really understand. I used to watch the Olympics as a child from start to finish. I couldn't tear myself away. Everything was fascinating. And now I'm working. So, you know, you got to get a little here, get a little there. You were right there, Bob Herrig. You were right in the midst of it. It must have been wonderful being there.
You know, surprisingly so. I wasn't sure what to make of how the Olympics are going to be. You know, the first one was very in Rio, which I also attended, was very kind of accepted in a very lukewarm fashion. Now, certainly Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson and Matt Kuchar, the guys who medaled, they loved it. It was great. They got into it. I think the ones that went really enjoyed it. But then, you know, we have the COVID Olympics, there's no fans, and it was a great win for Xander, and it was very competitive. And I think that started to change people's minds. But I don't think, but with no fans, I don't think anybody expected the sort of, the reception they got in France. The fans came out.
Oh, yeah.
They were really supportive. They obviously very much supported the French players, which was great, as they should. But there was a lot of, you know, national pride. There was a lot of people there from the U.S. and from Spain and from the U.K., rooting on the various players. So it was, you know, I think it exceeded expectations. I think the players were surprised by how well it was attended and how much enthusiasm there was. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we kind of needed, I think, in golf. Because, you know, look, right now, and I don't know if it will ever be the pinnacle, because we've got the majors, and that's so ingrained in us. We've got, you know, 100-plus years of history of the majors, and the Olympics doesn't have that history. So, but I think it's making a step in that direction after this year, and L.A. should be really fascinating. You know, having a U.S. audience, going to an iconic course like Riviera, I think all of that is only going to enhance it.
Yeah, I hope in L.A. that we do, for whatever team it is. It's like in France, the French started rooting for the U.S. team. I think it was in volleyball. It was all of these, and that's unusual because the French don't necessarily think of us as being great people.
Right.
So I thought that was just priceless. But we also have the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup, you know, the ultimate goal, right, is to get into the Ryder Cup. And I think John Rahm, going back to Rahm, because you were writing about him having a tough time maybe getting he needs to play 4 DP World Tour events this year.
Yeah, and the Olympics count, so he needs 3 more.
Okay.
And he's got the matter of fines to pay he's been in violation of his membership by competing in conflicting events on Liv. And so there's fines associated with that. There's some suspensions. The suspensions can be played out when even though he might not have had any intention to play the event anyway. But it's more about getting those fines paid, which obviously I think he can afford. and now can you play those events? Can you get those events in? I mean, it sounds like Tyrrell Hatton is going to try to do that. He's already played one also because he played Dubai earlier this year, so he's only got a couple more to go. The schedule allows for him to do it if he wants. And if he can work it out. So we'll see if that comes down because, it sounds to me like if you don't play the 4, you're not going to be eligible. And then he's got to do it again next year, too. Next year is the Ryder Cup year. You've got to maintain your membership.
When Rahm joined Liv, didn't he think for some reason everybody was going to kumbaya and, this was all going to work out between Liv and PGA Tour because he went over to Liv?
I absolutely think that he felt that was going to be the sort of the tipping point to get this done. And I think a lot of us did. A lot of us are surprised it hasn't happened yet. What's gotten in the way, not necessarily a bad thing, is that the tour got other investment from SSG.
Yes.
And getting that, you know, that takes time. So that delayed it, you know. And now, you know, so it put off the whole PIF negotiations for months. And those really basically didn't resume until the spring. And it's been pretty quiet lately, which makes you wonder if anything's actually going on. Like maybe there is some stuff happening behind the scenes and they're just they're just not talking about it.
Yeah,
while they try to work it out.
And that would be terrific if there was something actually going on behind the scenes. I don't care if they're not talking about it. Just get it done. This thing is so boring. You know, I mean, and talking about money, Scottie Scheffler's 5,993 points is 2,000 points ahead of Xander Schauffele, 3,500 in front of third place Rory McIlroy. And he's not even playing in the Wyndham, right? Which is a really important one for a lot of guys. And he's going to, what, he's going to, like, be the player of the year?
Well, I think it would be pretty hard to not give it to him now. You know, I mean, to win six times on tour, the Masters, the Players, now the Wyndham Olympics.
Yep.
It's been a great year for Xander. He's won two majors. Some people might think two majors is better than one. And look, in a lot of circles it is, and in many, many years, winning two majors gets you player of the year. But, I mean, the body of work has to matter there. Scotty's going to go, you know, into the playoffs, number one in the FedEx. He should probably get to Atlanta as number one, which, frankly, to me, matters a lot more than winning the Tour Championship, because then the whole thing gets reset, and you have virtually no advantage in Atlanta. You know, yeah, about big deal, two-shot advantage, the way they do the kind of hokey staggered strokes thing. I mean, I've said this many times. You could win every tournament you play leading up to the Tour Championship, every major, every signature event, every playoff event, but you get to Atlanta and you have a two-shot advantage. I mean, it's just one of these years, something like that's going to occur. This might be the year, actually. I mean, like, you know, he's got a big lead over Xander in the points.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, like, it's almost like he can't be caught. He could be, but if Scotty finishes like 20th or 25th or 30th in Memphis, he's going to get enough points to stay ahead of Xander, even if Xander wins. You know, so, you know, the points get increased by four times in the playoffs. So, you know, it's pretty unlikely that he's going to get past going to Atlanta. And so that means you're leading the points all year, and then it goes to this kind of, let's be honest, it's a bit of a hokey system to ensure that everybody has a chance, which is fine, but, you know, that I'm not sure that determines who the best player of the year is.
Exactly. Exactly. And Scheffler gets, what, $8 million? And then that brings his PGA Tour earnings to more than $36 million for the year. That's not bad, huh? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, for all the talk about Liv, you know, he's doing just fine. you know, obviously he's earned it in winnings. A lot of guys are making a lot of money on the tour now. You know, say what you want about Liv, but it forced change.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Those signature events are putting a lot of money in these guys' pockets. And the FedEx Cup, you know, the bonus this year goes to $25 million to the winner.
There you
know,
go.
It was $18 million last year. It's going to $25 million. Or maybe it was $20 million last year. I think it went 18 to 20, now 25. You know, so there's a lot of money being made in golf right now. And I'm not necessarily sure it's sustainable from a sponsor standpoint. But, you know, for all the talk about Liv, it has forced the tour to come back. And these guys are doing quite well for themselves.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to bring up next is that, you know, with Liv, they've kind of got that, you know, bottomless pit of money. And I just wonder how long the guys who are propping up the PGA Tour on one hand and the sponsors who are adding to the, you know, the coffers so that they can give them big prize money. You know, how long does that go on our side versus, you know, the oil side, if you will, the non-oil and the oil? Bob Herrig, senior writer, Sports Illustrated. Bob, it's so good to talk with you. Are you going to be writing another book? I mean, you've got two out already. Do you always have something cooking?
Actually, I do have another idea in the hopper. I've not really gotten very far on it yet, but I'll confide that the plan is to do a book sort of comparing Tiger and Jack.
Oh.
Like who's the greatest. That you know, going down that rabbit hole. So wish me luck on that. It's probably gonna about kill me, but I'm gonna try.
Yeah, and if it doesn't kill you, somebody will.
That's right. For
putting one in front of the other. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us today, Bob.
Appreciate it, Danielle. Have a good day.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back. We're going to do some learning. We're going to do some serious learning. Ben Hongo, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf at Kapalua Golf Academy, is with us next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Aloha Power's totally hot summer sale. That's right. It's Aloha Power's totally hot summer sale. Riding mowers from homeowner to supersized landscapers. In stock. Mower accessories galore. Available now. Mow it, blow it, bag it. You're done. No backaches. Let your equipment do the work. And it's fire season. No kidding, right? Protect your property. Protect your neighbor's property. We ship off island, and new shipments with the latest features arrive daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Here's the local rules sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ben Hongo, PGA Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf. It's at hongogolf.com. That's where you'll find out everything. Teaching professional out of the Kapalua Golf Academy. Member of the Aloha Section PGA since 1989. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. I mean, you've been the 2023 Aloha Section PGA Golf Professional of the Year, champion of two Aloha Section PGA tournaments, best teachers in Hawaii voted by Golf Digest 2003 and to 2025. Okay. He's in that list every year. 2018 Aloha Section Horton Smith Award, 2013 Aloha Section Youth Development Leader of the Year, 2008 Aloha Section Youth Development Leader of the Year, 2017 Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, and boy, you started off in 2004 with the Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year. You just rock, Ben. What more can I say? Boy, what do you want to say to people who are listening right now about this game of golf?
I mean, well, first of all, I'm a little tired because I've been up since 3 o'clock watching the Olympics.
Oh, boy, I can understand that. You didn't get much sleep last night, but wasn't it amazing watching the women come in? I mean, it was just... Lydia Ko was amazing.
Yes, she is. She's been at it since, like, when she was 15 or something like that.
Yep.
And, you know, what's amazing about just watching even last week, you know, the men, you know, both women and men, and just how much passion that they have for the Olympics and, you know, how emotional, you know, just watching Scotty cry on the podium, that, you know, that's pretty awesome. I mean, if I could just say to people, there's one thing about, you know, like goals when you go play golf,
and I've always said it, but your number one goal should be when you pick that ball out of the hole on the 18th hole, you say to yourself, you know, that was fun. I want to do it again. And, you know, who cares about what you score or, you know, whatever, you know, that, oh, I shanked one on 17, you know, all these things that go through our minds. But, you know, just, you know, the friends that you're playing golf with, you know, I mean, how often do you get 4 hours of FaceTime with, you know, three other individuals?
Yep.
So it's just, I think it's just a great sport.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get enough of it. I was in a meeting this year somewhere, and somebody, they say, hey, we're going to introduce ourselves. But you also have to say how many years you've been playing golf. And I, thank goodness I wasn't the first one, because I had to do a little math in my head. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've been playing golf for 49 years.
Oh, just round it up to 50.
I didn't want to go there.
Oh, come on.
But I personally can't get enough of it. You know, I'm one of those weird golf pros that actually play a lot of golf.
A lot of pros are like, I've been working all day at golf. I just want to go and do something else. But yeah. You were introduced to Jim McLean, master instructor for Jim McLean Golf School, PGA West in La Quinta. That is incredible. What did you learn from Jim McLean?
You know, I actually went to California for vacation, and we went to Palm Desert, and I actually went to visit, you know, the location's not called Jim McLean Golf School anymore, but, you know, and I just, you know, brought back a lot of memories. One was just structure of how to run golf academies and whatnot. So I became, you know, so when the Kapalua Golf Academy came about, I had a pretty good idea how to run a academy, you know, so I think I was pretty big asset to Jerry King when we first opened the Kapalua Golf Academy back in 2000. And also, you know, because there was so much talent there, I was the eighth teacher. And just the way the schedule worked, you know, I always got the last lesson. So, I spend a lot of time just watching other guys teach until my name, you know, came up and whatnot. So I just learned a lot, you know, watching other teachers teach. I learned a lot about the, you know, the operation of the golf academies and whatnot. And, you know, and another good cool thing about it is when you work for a guy that's top five teachers in the world.
Jim,
a lot of, you know, tour players end up coming there. So I had a lot of interaction with, you know, really good players and whatnot. And, you know, just to talk to them and get a feel for, you know, what they're thinking. Because, you know, sometimes what you think as an instructor and what the best players in the world, what they actually do, it could be a little bit different. So those are probably the major things I really learned, you know, at McLean School.
That you took away, yes, having that interaction with the pros and, I mean, the top professionals in the world, and then being able to incorporate that into the way you're thinking and teaching. That's priceless. I mean, where are you going to get that? Ben Hongo is a runner. He's a foodie. Sushi cuisine runs in the family. Obviously, you hear that he's a lover of the game. He's been a member of the Aloha Section since 1989. When did you get into junior golf?
I was, you know, I played golf as long as I could remember, to be honest with you, but I wasn't really into it. In my preteens, my family moved to California, to Santa Barbara, or a little town just north of it called Goleta. And that's where I really got into golf. Santa Barbara Junior Golf at the time had one of the best programs. I'm sure they still do. Excuse me. And I ended up playing a lot of golf and got introduced to other, you know, junior golfers and whatnot. And that's kind of where my road started, you know, down in Santa Barbara.
That's awesome. And then, so then it was an easy transition to bring junior golf into your world, in addition to teaching you know, the elders, the elders. You also are very, very active as a junior golf, I don't know how to put it, a teacher. You put them together. You do such a great job.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are a lot of guys in the state that do, you know, like Oliver down at the Hawaii Prince. I mean, he does a great job in, you know, in Oahu. He's got a really great program. Chris Aminini here on Maui. So, you know, PGA professional, I just think, you know, all of us, we had this instinct to help out, you know, juniors, because that's kind of where most of us started.
Yeah.
So it's kind of natural for us to work with junior golfers. You know, it's not like I don't enjoy teaching Mr. and Mrs. Jones, but, you know, my passion is definitely kind of teaching and working with the, you know, elite juniors of West Maui here. So, you know, I got one in a couple hours that, you know, that I'm looking forward to, that I see her every, you know, every Saturday morning. So, you know, these are fun times for me.
Yeah. Because they're getting better. And do they have a better way of overcoming the negative things that can happen when you're learning the game than adults do?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a lot more, I don't know, you know, they're not as serious about it. You know, they're really more about having fun. And there's a point where they become really serious, you know, and they get very competitive and whatnot. Some kids are just kind of naturally competitive. And I mean, they all kind of come in different shapes and sizes. I mean, you know, so you can't just kind of say, hey, we're going to cookie cut every, you know, 10-year-old to this.
No.
You know, everybody's a little bit different and whatnot. And I got two 10-year-old girls, 11-year-old girls now. And, you know, and one's shy. I can't get her to talk to me. And then another one, I can't get her to shut up, you know.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, yes, everybody's different. But some of us beat ourselves up mentally more than others. And I think teaching children to let go of what they perceive as a terrible flaw or failure or, you know, mess up, and I'm just no good. I mean, can you hear that inside yourself, guys? How do you talk to them about letting go of the, you know, disasters, and because they're not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one, right? Because in golf, we don't have like defenders to blame. You know, it's like if I was playing basketball against LeBron James, for example, it just wouldn't be a match. And, you know, I'll get beat, whatever, you know, 21-0. And, you know, and I would just kind of go, hey, you know, that was fun because I got to play against LeBron. But in golf, even if you're playing against Tiger Woods, there's this expectation out of yourself when you go play golf. And we talk about this a lot. You know, I talk about this a lot with my competitor, even just, you know, regular players, too. It's like, you know, you have to somehow tame. Like for me, when I go playing tournaments or just playing, you know, just regular whatever, golf, I'm always kind of, you know, I try to have a high confidence level, not to the point where, and I'm not a cocky kind of guy to start with. I'm not, you know, I'm not outwardly, you know, mouthy,
yeah,
you know, about,
yeah,
my abilities and whatnot. It's
Thank
not
goodness.
My nature, but, you know, I think all great players have to have some amount of confidence in what they're doing. But I also try to go with no expectations. And I just think it's tough. You know, we just had the, you know, playing ability test, PAT, which is the first thing you have to do to become a PGA professional. And there's a number, for example, in the Bay course with the rating and everything, I think it was 79. You have to play 36 holes in one day. And so, you know, that there's that number out there that everybody's trying to shoot for, you know, 158, and there, that's that expectation. And, you know, I just saw some players out there, they're doing great, and all of a sudden they kind of realize that, hey, you know, the second round, it's coming around, the backside's coming around, that number's there, I only have like two bogeys to give or whatever it is, and they kind of fall apart. we saw it today. I mean, at the Olympics, you know, look at Nelly, that girl from, you know, Swiss. And anyway, it's just, I think when you have a really high expectation and then your confidence gets a little bruised because you three put it or you hit it out of bounds or whatever it is, it's hard. And, you know, I mean, my message is, hey, let's work on your golf game so you can create and develop some confidence. Okay. But when you go play golf, why don't you just leave it out on the field? No expectations. Just play your heart out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's my message.
You know, you were talking about Morgan Metreau, who was doing so well and playing beautiful golf, 70, 66, 71, blew up on the final round with a 79. You know, she was, as one of the announcers said, it looks like she's playing like she was, the girl we saw before. Well, she wasn't on that final round. It was, you know, it just went away. And on the other hand, Lydia Ko was 72, 67, 68, 71. You know, she didn't win by a ton. She beat Esther Henselite, though, and did it by two strokes. And it's such a great leaderboard, this leaderboard with so many countries. Unfortunately, Rose Zhang, the one U.S. contender in the top, you know, 18. Well, actually, there are lots of ties for 18, ties for 13, ties for 10. But, you know, she was our only U.S. flag. Yeah, I'm looking. Yep. Where's our other U.S. flags? We have so many. Minji. Oh, no. She's not. Right. You know, Nelly Korda. Oh, my God. There's another one who had a terrible, you know, everybody expects Nelly Korda to lead the pack. And those kinds of expectations, do they bug you after a while? People expecting you to be the champion?
I'm sure it does. Right. I mean, for the players, I mean, I think, you know, I personally don't know how they do it, you know, with all the, you know, media, I mean, social media and, you know, other outlets, and they're constantly being told. I mean, you know, I feel for, you know, McIlroy. I mean, it just seems like, you know, every major that he's playing in, especially the Masters now, you know, it's like, oh, when are you going to win the Masters to complete your, you know, your Grand Slam and so on, you know, you know, and that's probably the reason why, you know, a lot of those, you know, the tour players, you know, work with sports psychologists, you know, to get through all that stuff.
You know, the expectations you have on yourself, and then add all the weight of the expectations of all the people who expect you to perform like a robot.
yeah, exactly. We're human beings.
Yes. Help. I'm not having a good day. So you use video analysis, TrackMan. What's UberSense?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
What teaching tools do you use?
Yeah, so currently I use, you know, for video, I use a software or program called OnForm. And it talks to my launch monitor, and I switched to Full Swing earlier this year. So when I take a video, it gives me all the matrix right on the screen itself.
Wow.
So it's great. You know, for putting short game, I use this thing called Blast, which is really affordable. It's about $100, and it's a little sensor that goes onto the button of the golf club, and it measures like your tempo, you know, club face angles and all these things. So I think it gives you about 12 different matrix. So it's, you know, I have to be careful, you know, how much technology I use, because I don't want to, you know, some people are a little bit more feel oriented and they just want to get a, you know, kind of a sense in how they're supposed to swing the golf club and whatnot. But I always like to have some matrix or some numbers. So when we do see some improvement, you know, I can show it to them. It's like, okay, when you feel this, this is what's happening. Your club head is speeding up 5 miles per hour or whatever it is, you know, and then they can trust that feel, and we can grow that confidence.
That's awesome. And so you come in, too, to see Ben Hongo at Kapalua Golf Academy. You do club fitting. You might do you kind of look over a set of clubs and go, boy, those are all wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we were full, when I was with the Academy, you know, we used to have every matrix. So although I know the process and everything about club fitting, I don't have all the matrix of manufacturers anymore. So I usually kind of pass it along to people who do.
Right on.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, like, I've sent a few of my students to, is it True Specs, Julie, at Kapolei?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does a great job over there with the club fitting. And I've had a few of my students go over there and had a great time and, you know, got fitted perfectly. And then here on Maui, I'm PXG ambassador, so Chris Black here with PXG. So usually I'll send it, you know, I'll just kind of send it off to them. But,
fantastic.
You know, I do get a general feel for what, you know, what's going on in the bag. And, you know, I'll get a person that's been playing golf for a long time, and he's still got like a 3-iron in his bag. And, you know, I'll put it on the launch mount there on a full swing, and I will show it to him. It's like, hey, you're not getting the ball high enough to have the ball stop. For example, I had a student a few months ago. He's a local guy. I played a lot of golf with him. Anyway, once he got to his 6-iron, his carry number was all the same. So it was, you know, from 6-iron, it was like 175, 5-iron, 175, 4-iron, 175.
Yeah,
it was all carrying the same. Now, the ball would roll out differently. You know, 6-iron would stop faster. But, you know, I was telling him, I was like, hey, Ralph, you know, you get to a, you know, like a hole where you have to carry over a water, and you're 180 yards out, you're kind of, you don't have a shot because you can't carry, you know, that far. And if you happen to do it, it's going to come in so low and so hot that it's going to hit the middle of the green and bounce over into the back bunker. So, you know, we got rid of some of those longer irons and, you know, and put hybrids in to get the ball up in the air.
Right on.
So that's something that I went through, actually. You know, when I turned 50, I actually didn't understand why PGA, you know, PGA Tour put 50 as the threshold for the senior golf, because I was like, I don't feel that much different than I did, even, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I got to about 53. I said, okay, I get it. So what was happening was my speed just went down. So I couldn't get the ball up in the air, you know, like Ralph, up in the, you know, high enough to make the ball stop if I needed to carry something.
Uh-huh.
So if I had an open green in front of me, I can run it on. No problem, but if I had to carry something, I was like, I didn't have a shot. So I started putting hybrids in little by little. And today, my first iron in my bag is a 7-iron.
Far out. Ben Hongo, yeah. PGA, Director of Instruction, Hongo Golf, teaching professional, hongogolf.com. That's where we find you. But you are at the Kapalua Golf Academy with your own area, right?
Yes.
Great. You have to be on the show more often, Ben. It's been way too long since we've talked.
Yes, definitely.
All right.
I'll reach out to you more often.
Thank you very much. Ben Hongo, Okay. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse with us today.
Aloha.
Aloha. Coming back with Joel Navarro, CEO, Maui Pono Foundation, chairman and founder, Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, and president of Lahaina Junior Golf Association. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the other side. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
How do the pros keep their bodies fit? With professional stretching routines from Stretch Lab Hawaii. Our one-on-one assisted stretching sessions are designed to improve your flexibility and swing. Our highly experienced flexologists tailor each session to your needs so you can move better, feel better, and play better. Visit our studios at Kahala Mall, Kailua, and Ward Center. Stretch Lab. Live long, golf strong. Mention the golf club for half off your 50-minute stretch and mobility assessment at Stretch Lab Hawaii.
And before I go any further, I want you to know that this does not impact your chance to win rounds of golf when we're giving them away, okay? You can win. Yeah, you heard about Stretch Lab just a second ago, right? Stretch Lab Hawaii. Well, now is your chance to experience a 50-minute complimentary stretch at Stretch Lab Hawaii. All you got to be is the third caller, 808-545-1111. Pretty easy, huh? 545-1111. And that's 808, of course, in front of it. You'll win a 50-minute flex stretch at Kahala Mall, Kailua, Ward Center. Those are the three places you can get the stretch. That's 808-545-1111. You deserve a stretch. Boy, and does it feel good. I'm Danielle Tucker, and now we're going to come back. But first, before we do that, I just want to remind you all that we've got a couple of really terrific prizes to give away. Stretch Lab and the golf course giveaway is coming up shortly.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Joel Navarro, CEO, Maui Pono Foundation, and chairman and founder, Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, and president, Lahaina Junior Golf Association. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, I'm looking at all the things you do, and it's like, how do you have time? And you've got a family. You've got two kids.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
I do.
Wow, that's truly incredible. You must find it really, though, I don't know, refueling. I always find when I'm working with kids that I am somehow energized by their frenetic energy that keeps coming. When you're the president of Lahaina Junior Golf Association and chairman and founder of the Legacy Golf Cup Golf Tournament, do you find that to be the case for yourself?
Always, always. And the younger the junior golfer, it seems to be, for me, a reminder of, you know, just how beautiful the game is, you know, from their perspective, from their viewpoint. The joy that they share when they're playing and learning is fuel, you know, it fills your cup, really.
It does. It does. You know what I think is funny about the game? It's kind of somebody had a brilliant idea that junior golf needed to be expanded. I don't know whether it was a business model so that more, you know, clubs could be sold. It doesn't really matter, actually, because what has happened is, yes, golf is for, you know, people who want to get away from everything and be with their friends and play round golf and have fun or compete against each other and, you know, exchange shakala. But the kids, they learn so much from the game, and people are like, golf for children? This is crazy. Golf is an adult game. No, actually, golf for children is the perfect game to teach them. Like, what do you find that they learn just as interacting entities, Joel?
I mean, just the whole essence of golf, right, where there's rules and there's etiquette, those are things within the construct of the game is something that you try and teach your kids or children outside of golf. You know, if you make it part of a sport that they enjoy, then it becomes embedded in the fabric of who they are, right? As far as doing what's right, being honest, you know, being respectful and showing camaraderie on the golf course. Those are things that, you know, you want to teach to them, but it's instilled in the game. And if they really enjoy the game or embrace the game, it becomes so much easier for you to teach these things to the children.
Yes. I mean, parents try so hard to, you know, now don't step in front of him. It's not your turn yet. You know, all those little polite things that kids don't seem to get naturally. In golf, if you're trying to teach them personally, one-on-one, parent to child, it's hard compared to when there are a bunch of kids together and, you know, they sort of teach each other in a way. There's a dynamic that starts happening, and that's really the fundamentals of good relationships, which makes them really good citizens. It's a, I just love
absolutely
what golf does.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a distinction that golf has amongst other youth sports, right? There are rules, obviously, in other sports, but where etiquette and honor are emphasized in golf, that is so those, you know, just those two elements right there make golf, you know, so perfect for you know, trying to raise a young child.
Yeah, yeah, and as gosh, let's see now. As president of the Lahaina Junior Golf Association, do you find yourself out and about at tournaments, volunteering to do goodness knows what?
Yeah, so we are very lucky since I became president in 2018, we had a nice relationship with Century, so we've gotten a chance to, you know, partner with them, Century Insurance. For the what was originally the Century Tournament of Champions, now it's called just the Century, since they opened it up beyond tournament winners. And we've gotten a chance to expose these young kids to golf on a professional level. Basically, their heroes are now here on Maui.
Yeah.
You know, within their grasp. You know, they're standard bearers for them most of the time. They've attended clinics with them, so it's been a wonderful relationship, you know, over the last 6 years, and they are just an incredible organization to partner with.
Yeah, awesome people, absolutely. And do you also have tournaments outside of the work you do?
Yes, so our structure for Lahaina Junior Golf, which is just starting our fall season, the registration just opened last week, we essentially are 10 tournaments over the course of the fall season of, you know, late August or early September, October, November, with our last tournament usually in the first weekend of December.
Far out.
So 10 tournaments total. And each division, we have four divisions, with the fourth division being the youngest division. They all basically participate in these weekend tournaments. For the Division Four, they play on Wednesdays, but they the divisions 1, 2, and 3 will play on Sundays at a selected golf course, which the golf courses donate to Maui Junior Golf, Lahaina Junior Golf. Sorry, you know, the rounds of the tee times, so that these kids can play on the weekend.
It's awesome. So Joel is president of the Lahaina Junior Golf Association. This is a nonprofit organization dedicated to educating life skills through the game of golf for the youth of Maui, instilling values such as respect, integrity, character, and honor. And there's a junior golf organization on all islands. So if you've, you know, been thinking about it and you weren't sure, you know, give them a call. You can just, you know, I don't know, Google it.
Yeah, no, we have a website. We have a website we just refurbished about a year ago. It's a beautiful website that kind of talks about, you know, our story and how you can sign up and be a part of the program. And, you know, we encourage everyone to, you know, if there's any, even the slightest bit of interest, you know, by any child, it's important to get them exposure. And one of the things that we pride ourselves on at Lahaina Junior Golf is that we try and make sure that the game is fun. As you know, golf is hard in itself, right? And so we try and make sure that the game, the tournaments that we put on reflect, you know, the fun of the game,
Yay.
Whether it's fun with teams or fun with another partner. You know, the fellowship of golf, I think, is something that's sometimes understated in the game, you know, we want to make sure that the kids know that, yes, it's an individual sport, but there is a team component also and a fellowship component to it as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you're beating yourself up over there in the corner, three people are going, oh, dear.
Right.
You know, what are you
doing?
They've
been there before. They've been there before.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to know that. And everybody goes, it's okay.
Right. Absolutely.
We are KORL YNI Honolulu. I'm talking with Joel Navarro, CEO of Maui Pono Foundation. And you've heard he's chairman and founder of the Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, president of the Lahaina Junior Golf Association. But when you were founder of the Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, is that a junior event or for everybody?
No, that's actually an adult event. It's a fundraiser to help benefit the Lahaina Luna High School's Project Graduation, which, if you're not familiar, is a program that upon graduation, as soon as they get their diploma, they are whisked away on an all-night event to protect the kids from basically harming themselves. They are sheltered from other adults and other kids, and they're basically, for that night, they're spending one of their last nights with their friends in the safety of an environment that's put on by, you know, the local PTSA group. And I'm happy to say in the 17 years that we've run the charity golf tournament, there has not been one fatality or incident on the graduating seniors since we put on the Legacy Cup.
That's wonderful because, kids get out of school and they're just party, you know, is the only thing
That's
they
right.
want to do and get behind the wheel of a car and then craziness
right.
ensues. So I think Project Graduation should have been around when I was in high school. At McKinley, you know, we were all ready to go out and have fun. But I'm, you know, that's the whole point. Project Graduation is fun because you're with all of your friends, you're all together, and somebody's kind of making sure you're all in a bubble. And it's wonderful. And thank you so much.
And they do such a wonderful job. They put out, there's local music, there's in locations each. So the whole event is pretty clandestine. The kids don't know, the parents don't know where they are on purpose, so that to protect the group of kids. And so they've gotten ballrooms and hotels. They've gone to restaurants and had, you know, food and music and DJs and fun games and things like that, where they win prizes and gifts. And so, I don't know any senior that's gone through the program that has not just, you know, enjoyed themselves during the night. Even those who were reluctant to go, they were like, what is this all about? And they go through the program, and they're just, you know, they're just so thankful and grateful that they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, memories. Yeah, memories. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Now, we want to get to you as CEO of Maui Pono Foundation. Now, this is Maui Pono Foundation's mission is to empower the Maui community devastated by the August 2023 fires through transparent grant-making processes and strategic partnerships to foster resilience, catalyze sustainable recovery initiatives. So that's like powerful in itself right there. Tell us how you got into this.
Well, I've been in Maui now since 1993. When I graduated from Fairfield University in Connecticut, I grew up in a Jesuit education, and one of the pillars of that education is commitment to service. And so, you know, the first few years living on Maui as a, you know, young 20-year-old, you know, was to enjoy, you know, being on Maui, living on Maui. And then at some point in time, I realized that, you know, I had to give back to my community, and that's the kind of the journey that I've been on. And obviously, most recently in the last year, this August 8th fire is affected by small community that I've been part of for over 30 years, and I consider family, essentially. And, you know, what transpired the night of the fires was, you know, a group of friends and family decided, hey, we need to do something. We got to be prepared because we have enough friends and family that want to support us and this community. Let's be a vehicle. Let's create a vehicle for them to be able to donate and then provide this, you know, funding, you know, to the people, you know, that can be more immediate than some of the larger, you know, nonprofits. And that's kind of how the genesis of the whole, you know, foundation was created.
So it's like the neighborhood partner instead of somebody out there in, you know, faraway land.
Someone you know, like they know who I am. They know the other three families, and they entrusted us with, you know, that, you know, if we received donations, that we would turn around and you know, provide to those who needed it. And so I'm proud to say, in the first year immediately of the fire, we awarded over $1 million in individual grants to those who needed help. And then over 2024, the first half of the year, we awarded over $500,000 in small business grants, because we realized that the part of the fabric of Lahaina was the small businesses. We're a small little community. We don't have a big box stores here. We have all mom and pop stores, you know, in Lahaina, and so we needed to support them and make sure that they could reopen their doors and get back to work.
Yes. Wow. And now, how do you raise the money?
It's all individual donations.
Wow.
You know, we basically reached out to, again, our network of friends and family, you know, on the mainland, in the neighbor islands, and, you know, through our previous employments, and, you know, that, you know, all individual grants. We raised almost $3 million.
That's
in individual grants.
That's, you know, that's the community coming together. And, you know, we just had the first anniversary, and boy, when you see it's really hard watching the video of the flames, and I can't imagine being in the midst of that inferno, and then living with the memory of that. That alone, I would require substantial amount of counseling.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, what's ironic is that what's actually beautiful is that my world in Lahaina Junior Golf and golf community kind of married with Maui Pono on the anniversary date. You know, leading up to it, we realized that one of the prescriptions of the mental health, you know, as you're alluding to in your story, like how to rebound from, you know, such a, you know, disaster or tragedy,
yep.
You know, are three components. One, to be outside and get some vitamin D. Two, be around your family and friends. And three, engage in some physical activity. Well, guess what? Golf has those components. So we encouraged our golf community, that plays the Legacy Cup, that is a member of Lahaina Junior Golf, to play golf that day, and not only to answer the prescription of mental health, but to support the golf courses that are also suffering, you know, financially. So it was a beautiful day, and I played 36 holes that day, Danielle, one in Kaanapali and one in Kapalua, to just be around the people that wanted to use golf as a way to, you know, heal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And every single person that I ran into was just so thankful to be out playing golf with their, you know, their buddies or their friends and their families. And some people, you know, took the time to, haven't played in a couple of years, and they realized, you know what, it's been so great to play. And so it reinvigorated them to be out on the golf course again. Mm-hmm. And so, because golf became secondary, obviously, in light of what all has happened, it was nice for them to have a little bit of reprieve on the anniversary date.
Awesome. So. Awesome. It's like walking in God's park whenever I'm in a golf course. It's so beautiful. My garden doesn't look anything like this at my home.
No. And we were very conscious that not to take away from the other events that were happening. There was a huge paddle out with 3,000 people. But for some, that was just not their vibe, right? They wanted to be have a more intimate moment, you know, for themselves. You know, they didn't want to be surrounded and do interviews and talk about that day. They wanted to just basically find a different way to heal. And golf provided that, as golf often does.
Joel Navarro, CEO, Maui Pono Foundation, chairman and founder, Legacy Cup Golf Tournament, and president, Lahaina Junior Golf Association. Joel, please stay in touch with me so we can talk about what you do more often.
Thank you. Well, I would love that.
Thank you. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha.
We'll be back with Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
All right. You know, today is the day to get out and, get that garden under control that you've got. It's Aloha Power's totally hot summer sale. Riding mowers from homeowner sized to the supersized landscaper that won't fit in your yard. It's all in stock. Homeowner sized, supersized. Mower accessories galore. Available. Mow it, blow it, bag it. And you're done, and your back doesn't hurt because you let your equipment do the work. It's fire season. Protect your property, your neighbor's property. We ship off island. New shipments with the latest features arrive daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile, next to the Costco gas station. And in Waipahu, Farrington Highway, you're going EVA bound, and you get to Waipahu Depot Street. Make a left, and there's the big sign. Of course, if you're going Cocoa Head bound, you make a right, and then there they are. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. Tell them Danielle sent you.
If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm sorry you had to wait so long, and I appreciate it very much. Adam Shupak's been lugging his laptop and his golf bag and following the sun to write about golf since 1997. He's worked for the PGA Tour, the World Golf Hall of Fame. He is senior writer at Golf Week. And so much is going on in golf, you know, and one of the things that I really wanted to bring up during the show today is Chichi Rodriguez. He passed away at the age of 88. I think it was Wednesday night. At least that's when word broke out about it. And he came from Puerto Rico, humble beginnings. He was a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. But really, what absolutely got people and I want you to talk about that, is his sense of humor and how he kind of like, he put on a show when he was playing golf.
Yeah, as a kid, I feel like he helped me fall in love with the game of golf, because I used to love to watch him do the sword dance when he'd make a putt. I mean, you were rooting so hard for him to make a birdie putt because you wanted to see that sword dance. It was unique. It was fun. I mean, I still do it. You know, it's still an ongoing joke between my wife and I. That's kind of an inside joke we have to show her that I'm feeling good. He would look at treat the hole as a bowl, and he would take his putter and stab at it, and then he'd, you know, wipe it with his handkerchief,
yes,
and wipe the blood off it, and put it back in his scabbard, in his invisible scabbard. It was so much fun, and the fans loved him. He was a big draw. I mean, he brought in a lot of fans. He was, you know, other than Jack and Arnie and maybe Lee Trevino, he was probably the fourth or fifth biggest player that fans wanted to watch at the time. And you know, he had an incredible run once he turned 50. He won 8 times on the PGA Tour. He represented the U.S. on one Ryder Cup team in 1973. But on the Senior Tour, he won 22 times, which I think is still fifth or sixth most that anyone's ever won. He had a tremendous stretch after 50. But, you know, people loved his antics and his sense of humor. But he was also one of the great philanthropists and a humanitarian, and was way ahead of his time in realizing that golf could be a great way to help underprivileged kids learn the values associated with the game. And beginning in 1979, you know, about 20 years before the first tee came around, he basically was doing the first tee before there was the first tee, and you know, raised over $1 million with Jack Nicklaus in a single day to kind of get his program going. And he just loved. I was listening to a little of PGA Tour radio this morning, and Dave Marr was telling stories about how he would, you know, when he was doing these clinics for kids, he would always request that there be a dentist that would come out, and he wanted the kids to have a chance to get their teeth looked at, because he never had that that chance as a kid. And I never heard that anecdote before, but that pretty much sums up Chichi Rodriguez and the type of person he was.
Yes. Wow, that is like so daddy, you know, you know, taking care of people. And that's really what he was doing, you know, the whole showmanship of it all, you know, is bringing people in and making them feel happy. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to share like that. And didn't you write that he credited meeting Mother Teresa for his inspiration to give back?
Yes, yes, yeah. I think she said to him, you know, what are you doing to give back? And it made a real impression on him, and he really took to heart the words that she said to him, and he believed that, you know, he had received so much from the game, coming from nothing, and so he wanted to give back more than he had taken, and I think, you know, the record will show that he did that, and he really was the genuine article. You know, he was I got to interview him numerous times, and, you know, there's some guys that when that camera light turns red, they can make all sorts of jokes, but when it goes off, they'll give you a hard time, and Chichi was always willing to do whatever he asked, and I never saw him without a smile on his face.
Yeah, I love this story too. His father earned $18 a week as a laborer and cattle handler. And when Chichi was 7 years old, he helped the family by earning money as a water carrier on a sugar plantation. One day, he wandered off into a golf course. And when he saw that the caddies were earning more money than he was, he decided to become a caddy. Smart kid.
And then just learn the game from watching.
Isn't that something? That's, you know, did he ever take a lesson?
You know, I don't know the answer to that one, actually. But he, you know, started with a stick and hitting tin cans as a ball. And
wow.
It's a pretty remarkable story. I mean, a real rags-to-riches tale. And he lived a great life. And the game of golf will miss him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also included something from Bob Herrig, who, by the way, was on the show this morning, too, telling the Chi-Chi story about how his father woke him up one night when he heard someone trying to steal bananas from the tree in their yard. Right? Can you tell that story?
From what Bob reported, and this was back, I think, a story I found in the early 90s.
Yeah.
The guy had a machete, and he was trying to cut off the bananas, and his Chi-Chi's father said, you know, you can take half of the bananas, and if you want to come back again and you need more bananas, you can have half, but you know, don't steal all my bananas. But he was willing to share half of his bananas with someone who was willing to who was trying to steal them all.
That is
always pretty much says it all about how he cared about every person, the common man, and that was something that Chi-Chi really took to heart.
Wow. Okay, that is an amazing story, and thank you for including that in your story about Chi-Chi Rodriguez, and he's passed. He was 88, a wonderful person, and Adam Shupak, you know, you've been reporting on Wyndham and weather delays. Did you tell us about these poor guys? Are they going to make it out of there by Monday?
I think by Monday. I'm hoping by Sunday. I'm hoping for a Sunday finish. It's gonna be tough. I don't know. They're gonna have to play fast because they had a delay of about an hour this morning. There were some overnight storms, and here in Greensboro, North Carolina, and as a result, the last tee time for the second round, because they didn't play any golf on Thursday, had to postpone it because it was pretty bad from Tropical Storm Debbie. We had over 5 inches of rain that day, and it was blowing sideways, and really the wind was really whipping too. So it was not, there was no golf going to be played on Thursday, and we got in a good amount yesterday, but the last tee time today in the second round is at 4:12 p.m. They're playing threesomes, so that's going to take over 4 hours. Sun sets around 8:18 tonight. I don't think they're going to quite finish. So the goal was to play 36 tomorrow, but I have a feeling they won't make a cut until 8 a.m. So it's going to be a scramble, and it might have to go to Monday. We'll see.
Wow. That's a lot of wind and a lot of water. And a bow hustle.
Yeah, and it's tricky. It's tricky because a lot of guys, they don't really want to rush. Some guys may want to rush through if they know they're missing the cut. But, you know, this is the final event of the regular season. So
guys are
fighting for making the top 70 and earning a berth in the first playoff event. And you gotta be in it to win it at the FedEx Cup. There's a lot of money on the line. So guys are not going to be – they're going to want to mark these short putts and make sure they take their time and look things over and do their aim points and all their – all their things that slow down the pace of play. So I, you know, they're playing for a lot of money. So I sort of understand it, but hopefully they can move quickly enough that we can have that Sunday finish and all head home or go on to Memphis.
And go on to Memphis would be the dream, right? And I guess Bo Hostler showed them what to do, right? Just shoot a 10 under 60.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty remarkable. He was 6 under through 6 under through 5 and 8 under through 10, and really, you know, thought might be a you know, shooting 58 or 59. He had one bogey on the day, and still had a chance at the last. Settled for a par for 60, 10 under 60. Pretty darn good start. But you know, as he noted, that's just one round. The winner's probably going to be around 20 under or so. So he's only about halfway to what he's going to need to do. And there's a lot of guys shooting some good low scores.
So exactly why are these scores so low?
Well, they always kind of always go low here. But the fact that the course is so wet, it's a bit of a dartboard. The greens are very receptive. The rough is thick, so if you drive it well, at least in the first round, I'm not sure what they've decided on the second round if they're doing lift clean in place. But it was if you hit it in the fairway, you could clean your ball and place it. And whenever those guys get their hands on the ball, they're going to take advantage, and they can go low that I think that helps a lot, for these guys. They're so good.
So during all of, yes, they are so good. And Live Clean in Place is like, hey, it's a birthday cake. women's golf. Did you get a chance during all this rain to watch some of the Olympics?
I didn't watch a lot of it, but I got to say, what an incredible story for Lydia Ko.
There you go.
To bring it home today. And,
yes.
And to have a gold, silver, and bronze in the first three Olympics, I think that's got to be one of the coolest things in the sport right now. That is quite the achievement. And then to cap it off by getting into the LPGA Hall of Fame today with that final point she needed. The Olympics in general, both the men and women, they just went next level this year. And I'm so excited that has become a big deal, because I grew up loving the Olympics, and golf wasn't in it until 2016, and now I feel like it's really here to stay. And there's a lot of talk about them adding a male, at least some sort of team competition for the next time, whether it'll be in 2028 at Riviera in LA. And I love that idea. It's long overdue, and I feel like some of the other sports give out all sorts of, they've got a medal for everything. So I think they should have a long drive. I want to see the long drive be an Olympic sport. Gold medal for the long drive.
That's a good idea. I didn't even come into my radar. That's, Adam, you just opened up a whole new world, a whole new avenue. Yeah, because it's all muscle at that point, isn't it? And knowing how to strike the ball, Danielle, it takes a lot to do that. Well, it was awesome seeing Lydia winning the gold and listening to the announcer, I can't remember who it was, talking about her mental toughness, that downhill slider to the left, cementing her legacy with a gold medal in Paris and her place in the LPGA Hall of Fame. The full complement of Olympic medals, the only person in golf, man or woman, who can make that claim. It was great watching that and listening to his excitement about it. It was, as I said, New Zealander has more medals from the Olympics than a major championship. Thank you so much for hanging in there. The August 8th anniversary of the fires that destroyed Lahaina just a couple of days ago. And that's why, there was a lot to talk about this morning with Joel. Thank you so much for being such a good friend. I appreciate you very, very much, Adam Shupak, Golf Week Magazine.
Great talking to you, too.
Great. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're not going to come back, Danielle. We're probably going to go take a nap. We haven't had much sleep this week. We're going to close the show. Okay, and Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club is brought to you by Stretch Lab Hawaii. One-on-one assisted stretching sessions, just like the pros. You get to improve your flexibility and therefore your golf swing. It's at Kahala Mall, Kailua, and Ward Center. Aloha Power's totally hot summer sale. We have every brand of riding mower, from homeowner to supersized landscaper, and it's all in stock. Trade-ins are welcome. Mow it, blow it, bag it, and you're done. You can let your smart equipment do the work, not your poor back, not your body, unless you are getting into shape doing it that way. Faster and smarter, get yours today at Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile. It's right next door to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Now, it's on Farrington Highway, just off Farrington Highway, and going Koko headbound, you'd make a right at Waipahu Depot Street. And if you're going Evabound, you make a left. And there they are. There's a big sign, and there's the door, and it's open. It's welcoming you. Come on in. Speaking of the big sign, the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels, and stores like Aloha Power Equipment, they've been around since 1939. And we can't find you if we can't see your sign, so you need to get in touch with the Honolulu Sign Company. And thank you to the Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. For self, health, friendship, go golf. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2024.